Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
When it comes to the decision to follow Jesus, it seems that there are two options, as if there were buttons placed before you and you had to select one or the other. On one hand is the follow button, where you make the decision to follow. On the other hand is the unfollow button, which is the decision to not follow. As we consider this decision, there are a few questions asked in a conversation between Jesus and his closest followers that provide some incredible insight and some things to consider about choosing to follow or unfollow. Let's set up the story and then dive right in to John's account, one of his closest followers, who was an eyewitness to what took place of Jesus' life. Jesus had just fed about 5,000 or more than 5,000 people. The people that he had fed were so amazed that they were trying to make Jesus into the king. But Jesus never intended to become the kind of king that they expected. And so he hops into a boat and travels across the Sea of Galilee to a town called Capernaum to escape the demands of the crowd. It doesn't take long before word gets out that Jesus is in Capernaum, and people begin to flood to Capernaum and gather in the temple where Jesus is teaching. As they gather in the temple, and knowing all that Jesus has done, some of the people there, including many who may have been in the group of more than 5,000 Jesus had just fed, are trying to manipulate him, to kind of trick him into doing another miracle. Well, in response to their attempted manipulation, Jesus uses an analogy that seems just a little bit weird. As Jesus addresses them trying to manipulate him, here's what John records him saying. He says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever." Well, Jesus had likely fed many of the people in this group some bread in when he fed the more than 5,000 people. But now he says, "I'm the living bread that has come down from heaven." And it might seem to the people gathered there a little strange when Jesus says that he's come down from heaven, because they likely know that Jesus came from Nazareth, a town not far away from Capernaum. In fact, many of the people gathered there may have even known Jesus' occupation as a carpenter, and they may have even known Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph. And he also says this living bread that will help people live forever. So this seems a little strange, a little weird. And Jesus, it doesn't get any less weird as Jesus kind of continues explaining what he means and what he's talking about. He says, "And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh." So this bread that Jesus says, "I am the living bread," he's talking about himself, and the bread that he refers to is a bread that allows the whole world to live. So kind of the implication is, without this bread, the world can't live. But then it's not really bread that he talks about, it's his flesh. And Jesus goes on to explain more that still seems weird and maybe doesn't make sense. He says, "But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." Okay, so this is kind of a scratch-in-your-head kind of moment here. to be raised at the last day, to have eternal life, we have to resort to cannibalism. We have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. If that's the case, where's the unfollow button? What Jesus is talking about here isn't cannibalism. The people gathered in the temple, the Jewish temple, would have known the analogy that Jesus was making, because the Jewish belief system was heavily predicated on a sacrificial system. A sacrifice was required to redeem sin and to restore relationship with God. And so when Jesus talks about his flesh and his blood, the people gathered there would have known that he was talking about a sacrifice that he would make to redeem sin and to provide the path to right relationship with God. He's talking about his death on the cross becoming the sacrifice to accomplish for us what we could never accomplish for ourselves. As Jesus talks about this, his closest followers, and there's Jesus had 12 closest followers, and in this group there's probably more that have gathered that are followers that went with Jesus throughout the region and all that. But his closest followers, they're kind of watching the crowd, and they're kind of wondering where all this is coming from, this flesh and blood talk, and they're wondering where it's going. Because after all, they had chosen to follow Jesus. And if Jesus goes off the rails here, then it kind of all unravels for them. And here's what John tells happens next. Many of his disciples said, "This is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?" So his followers in this moment are wrestling in the tension of whether to continue to follow or to press the unfollow button. There's this moment where what Jesus has communicated is difficult to understand. They may not have all the answers. They may not have all the issues with what they think or believe resolved yet. And so they're kind of talking among themselves, and they're saying to one another, this is hard to understand. Who can accept it? Jesus might be going off the rails here, and if he goes off the rails, there's some intense implications for those of us who have chosen to follow. But Jesus has this uncanny knack of knowing what's going on around him. He has this uncanny knack of knowing what people are saying and knowing what people are thinking. And Jesus knows that his followers are complaining. And so in response, this is what John says happens. Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, "Does this offend you?" If his disciples had learned anything, maybe they had learned that you can't fool Jesus, that he knows what you're thinking, he knows what you're saying, he's aware of what's going on in your heart. And in all of that, Jesus turns and asks them this question, does this offend you? The word that's used for offend there is a word that is also translated as a stumbling block. And so what Jesus is asking here, does this difficult teaching about the sacrifice that I'm going to make that you don't fully understand or grasp, is this a stumbling block to you? Does this trip you up in your decision to follow or unfollow? Well, according to what John says, it does present a challenge and a problem for many of them, because he says, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Now, one of the fascinating things about the verse that this statement is found in is that the address in John, the chapter and verse address, is 666. And so I just find it fascinating that 666 mark is the verse that defines and describes where Jesus' followers desert and turn away from him. In what they found difficult to understand, many of them hit the unfollow button. They chose to walk away rather than to understand and figure out. And for people like you and people like me, there comes a time when we may be tempted to hit the unfollow button. There may come a time when we have to make the decision about what we will do in response to following Jesus. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Such an incredibly powerful moment in relationship between Jesus and followers. And as those people left, as those people began to walk away, John tells us how Jesus responds. It says, "Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, 'Are you also going to leave?'" I love the way the New International Version translates this question. It says, "You don't want to leave too, do you?" Jesus' closest followers, the 12 who had seen all that Jesus had done, who had heard all the countercultural messages that Jesus had taught, now faced a decision that, in response to a question, that the others who had walked away had made and faced. The others who had walked away, they'd loved all the miracles Jesus had done. They'd loved all the healings that they had seen, and maybe even some of them that they had experienced. They'd loved all the countercultural teachings that had wrapped the Jewish religious leaders up into a frenzy. They maybe even loved the fact that when they were hungry and Jesus was teaching, he was able to feed them and fill their stomachs. But there was a disconnect between the filling of their stomachs and the filling of their hearts because they chose to walk away. And Jesus turns to his closest followers and says, "You don't want to leave too, do you?" There's a challenge for people like us because we face these types of moments. We face the very same question when we face those kind of moments. Do you want to leave too? So Jesus poses the question, and who is going to answer? I mean, after all, Jesus knows what they're thinking. He knows what they're murmuring against each other, to each other, and all of that. And so who's going to answer Jesus' questions? Well, one of his followers, a guy by the name of Peter, who often seemed to say the wrong thing at the wrong time, makes a brilliant statement that many of us, that can make a difference for many of us if we can embed what Peter said into our own hearts. And Peter starts out with a question, "Lord, to whom would we go?" This is an incredible question because Peter recognizes something. Peter recognizes that he faces a tension of, if he's not going to follow Jesus, he's going to follow something or someone. And so Peter says, to whom would we go? We've chosen to follow you. We've heard your teachings. We've seen your miracles. We've seen all of that. Where else would we turn our attention? And for some of us, when we face the same tension, we would be wise to ask the same question that Peter asked. If not Jesus, then who? If not this, then what? There comes a time for some of us where we wrestle with this tension. Maybe we go off to college and all of a sudden we're surrounded by classmates and professors who don't consider or maybe even hostile to God. And they begin to try to convince us that the message of Jesus isn't true. And sometimes there are people who make the decision to unfollow because they believe the message isn't true. But it seems more often than not that the reason people make the decision to unfollow is because following is just too inconvenient. It requires us to give up things we'd rather not give up. It requires us to change behaviors we'd rather not change. But all of us would be wise to consider that if we don't follow Jesus, we're going to follow something. So if not Jesus, who? And if not this, then what? And that's the question Peter was asking. Where else would we go? And Peter goes on in the statement that he makes, which is so incredibly profound. You have the words that give eternal life. Peter has heard Jesus teach. He's seen the difference that he's made in people's lives. And he recognizes something about Jesus. When Jesus invited Peter to follow, he told him that he would teach him how to fish for people. And when Peter accepted the invitation to follow, he may not have known what that meant. But what Peter had come to discover is that since he had begun to follow Jesus, life was very different. And all of a sudden, Peter didn't want to settle for less in what life might become. And he didn't want to go back to what life had been. Following Jesus had led him to someplace different because he recognized that life was different because of his relationship with Jesus. And based on all that he had seen, on all that he had heard, and all that Jesus had done, Peter then goes on to describe more about the impact that's having in his heart and in his life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. It appears now that maybe Peter is speaking for the group, the 12. And what he's saying is, we believe, we know, we are convinced that you are who you claim to be, the very Son of God, sent to redeem sin and to restore right relationship with God. We believe, we know, we are convinced. And as a result of what we believe and a result of what we know, we recognize that if we don't follow you, we will follow something else. And those two questions that Peter asked when he said, Lord, to whom should we go, become so incredibly, they rise so incredibly to the surface so fast. If not Jesus, who? If not following Jesus, what? What we believe about Jesus isn't mere speculation. It is something we can know that is based on truth. It isn't something that we have to have all the questions answered to. It isn't something that we have to have every answer or question resolved. And this may sound a little harsh, but when we choose to unfollow, when we hit the unfollow button because we don't have all of our questions answered or resolved, it's almost like we're saying we know more and are smarter than God. When things don't work out for us like we'd hoped, it doesn't always mean they're not going to work out. When things don't work out and we unfollow because God didn't come through for us. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, but it just didn't happen. And it leads us down this path of feeling like God had abandoned us. That doesn't mean God has abandoned us. Maybe it just means life got messy and life got weird. And maybe it just means that our world is messed up. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. Our unresolved questions and answers enough to unfollow Jesus? Are unresolved questions and answers enough to undo all the amazing things that Jesus did? Are the unresolved and unanswered questions, are they enough to undo what Jesus did on the cross when he became the sacrifice, when his flesh was torn and his blood was poured out to redeem sin and to provide the path to right relationship with God? Are unresolved questions and unresolved issues enough to hit the unfollow button? If that's the question that you're asking, consider the option. If not Jesus, who? Because you will follow someone. If not this, then what? Because you will invest your time and energy and approach to life in something. If not Jesus, then who? If not this, then what? And then every day, wrestle with the question, am I following? Well, as we prepare to log off and head out to the rest of our day, here are three questions to get or maybe even keep the conversation going. What are some ways that following Jesus might be or has been difficult from your perspective? When following Jesus seems difficult, what makes it easier or at least tempting to unfollow? If not Jesus, who? If not following Jesus, what? As you wrestle with all of those questions, as you consider whether to hit the follow button or unfollow button in relationship to Jesus, let me pray for us as we wrap up this time together. Dear God, thank you for this incredibly challenging series of questions between Jesus and his followers, where Jesus asks, are you going to follow or unfollow? And thank you for Peter's powerful and compelling reply found in a question, who else would we go to? And in the statement about believing in Jesus, who provides a sacrifice for us that we could never provide for ourselves. God, help each one of us to pursue life with full abandon in relationship to what you desire for us, and to embrace what Jesus has done for us that we could never do for ourselves, and give us the courage to make the commitment to follow Jesus and then to follow through and ask the question every day, am I following? And God, when we're tempted to hit the unfollow button, give us the perseverance to pursue trust and faith that may not result in every question being answered and every issue being resolved. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for choosing to connect with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. Whether it's your first time in a long time, or first time, long time, we hope that this time helped you take a step in relationship with God and what it means to follow Jesus. And we hope to see you again next time at Hurricane Community Church.
Thanks again for tuning in. And we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.